You're listening to Voss and Bonnie's My Wife Hates Me on the Riotcast Network. Riotcast.com.
She really hates him. It's really true. Why did she marry this jackass Jew? Some people say that opposites attract, but this seems more like a suicide pact. He's totally sober. She's not that drunk. He's really old and she's got some spunk. He's totally holy as an asinine bomb and she's just a little less dumb. She really hates him. It's really true. But somewhere deep down, she loves him too.
Testing, we are up and running. We are moving ahead, forward. We are up. We're gonna do this. That's what we are. We're gonna do this. We are gonna start off with a couple quick plugs. That's the way to kill a little time while Bonnie eats her egg sandwich that she makes in the microwave. It's called the lazy egg. The lazy egg.
First of all, it's so easy to make an egg in the microwave.
That's why they call it the lazy
egg.
It
takes like 40 seconds. Just crack an egg into a bowl. Maybe spray a little Pam or something there so it doesn't stick. Put in the microwave 40 seconds. Boom.
The lazy egg, folks. There it is. Tonight, I will be Bridge Street Live, Collinsville, Connecticut. Bridge Street Live. Friday, I will be doing Megafest Comic-Con in Framingham.
Why does
Mass.
It call it Framingham?
That's what it's called, Framingham.
Are you sure it's not Framingham?
Or Framingham. It's not Framing or Framingham.
I don't know. I really don't. I could
don't
be wrong,
either.
But
I,
I'm just saying, like, it sounds like Framingham doesn't sound like a real place. Framingham does.
Well, Framingham or Framingham, Friday night, Megafest at the Comic-Con outside of Boston. A bunch of freaks. And Saturday, Garden State Comedy Club in Flemington.
Oh, first, my God.
First show was sold out. Second one is going. That's almost sold out. And it's supposed to be a good club.
Well, I've done it.
Yeah.
So I'll say it again. Even like last night, we'll talk about that in a minute. But there are certain venues that you can see comedians that are high profile television and radio stars in these venues that are ridiculous. And the let's put that in air quotes, the Garden State Comedy Club, which is actually a diner, is one of those places where it's like a bizarre place to see.
Well, it's not really a diner. They have a room, a comedy room to the side of it.
Yeah,
that's
but,
like just, there's
been, but it's not a comedy club. You don't drive by like, oh, there's a comedy club. You drive by like, oh, there's a diner.
I know. I mean, there's been comedy clubs in bowling alleys with rooms to the side where they do a comedy club. In, you know, Playlands, you know, in Atlanta, there used to be a comedy club that, and it was a good one that, you know, Marshall used to have the, what was that club? Whatever. And it was a big room inside one of those fucking Playlands. I
Come
forget
on.
The name. You don't remember? We used to bring Raina there in Atlanta.
Oh.
Remember? In the play, and there was, you know.
But that was a real comedy club.
No, it wasn't a real comedy. It was a club inside a Playland. Then they had one in Atlanta inside a go-kart track. There was a comedy room. Some of these places are ridiculous. Like this week, I'm working 3 one-nighters. But I'm making more this week than I made the last couple weeks doing real rooms. You know?
I'm just... my
it's
point,
crazy. When
my
you do,
point is this. If I was a comedy fan...
Yeah.
I would much rather go see a comedian at one of these weirdo venues than going to the Cellar or something. You're never going to be able to talk to the comedian. It's like...
Well, the Cellar, you're only doing 10 minutes. Here, you're doing an hour.
Well... Try to stay focused on what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, then compare it to like an improv.
Oh, okay, so an improv or something where you're like, this is like where you're going to see the comedian in a way at his finest because he's got to deal with so many challenges.
Well, when I do,
you know, there's going to be a lot of crowd work.
Yeah, I mean, like,
it's a weird venue.
Christmas week, I'm doing Levity Live up in Nyack, which is a real comedy club. Gigantic, great food. It's one of my favorite places. Okay, and that's a
that's more like a place you take a date.
Yeah,
Levity, but if
yeah.
you're like a you're like one of those weirdo loner comedy groupie types.
Yeah,
the diner. The Garden State Comedy Club is the place to
go. But Levity Live, which is an A room, it couldn't be. You couldn't find a better room. It's still in a mall. It's still in the Palisades Mall, right? So where, you know, I mean, I guess they all got to be somewhere. So
I'm not really putting it down.
I am.
In the way that
I am. Not putting it down. I'm just saying it's weird that
there's
a guy
some...
who's wrote for the Oscars, who's done 100 TV shows, pretty much a legend, goes uh-huh. without saying.
Pretty
you
much.
Know what someone said to me on the phone yesterday?
What?
I was talking to a comic yesterday,
uh-huh.
and this comic wants me to help punch up a sitcom that she has an offer to do.
Mm-hmm.
So she wants to send me the script and punch up just a couple areas. And she said, you know, that... And this sounds self-centered or whatever, but she said, like, Patrice, Norton, me, Keith, so many people have copied us through the years in comedy. Like, we have set some kind of tone or standard or, and I didn't get it. I don't think I'm, you know, I know I'm a legend from the things I've done and
things, God.
But I don't think I'm a trendsetter.
It's hard to get on board with this conversation because normally somebody's like, well, they're more modest, and then you can jump in and be like, no, listen, you're people copy you. You're amazing.
No, I mean, people,
but it's hard when somebody's like, I'm a legend. And it's hard to then be like, yeah, yeah, you're
no, I mean, I could see the things I've done that make
why don't
me...
you do your next comedy album, just call it Legend.
Yeah, but they might think it's John the singer. And I don't want to do that. But, you know,
how about
listen,
Comedy Legend?
Look, I can name a lot of legends in comedy. Obviously Patrice, Colin, legend, Norton Half a legend.
Why are you taking Norton down a notch?
Because I just have to in life.
Why? Because he's got too much?
He's got too much going.
On the one hand, he's got too much. On the other hand, not enough chins.
Janine Garofalo.
A legend.
Legend. Who else? Give a couple legends that you
I
would
don't
say.
Know. I don't really like.
I would say Rogan for the things he's done, and he likes us. Who else?
You know what I don't like about like listing people.
Like
and stuff,
if you take someone,
is that it's not a definitive list, and there's always more, and you always leave people out. And then
I know. I mean, there's tons of them, but you could take.
But speaking of lists, we're on one.
Okay,
we're
we'll
be
get,
on a pretty
we'll get
big
to that
list
in a second. We'll get to that.
This podcast that you're listening to. You know, I was against it all along. I know you want to keep talking about you being a legend.
No,
but
I'm
I feel
just
like
saying
it's
what
time
this girl
to,
said. But you didn't comment. Like, did Patrice, Norton, me, the tough crowd people.
Yeah, you absolutely. Here's what I think, that you guys absolutely were. Like, if you write about a certain time in comedy, you know, that's, it's like when people write about, like, when the store was big, you know, that's the time they're going to write about. When people write about when the Cellar was, you know, at its peak or whatever, that's the time that they're going to talk about, is the tough crowd time, you know, that you guys did. You were a scene, you inspired a lot of comedians. However, that being said, which I think is a great thing,
I think they'll forget my name though if they wrote about it.
No, they won't. They won't, Rich.
Go ahead. So what you're saying,
it's
that being
you're
said,
difficult. You're hard. You're making it very
Florence
difficult.
Florence said, I'm very... Okay, I'll talk about that later, but go
oh
ahead.
Oh, my God. Stop repeating positive things
negative,
that people say.
It was negative what said.
Oh, okay. Well.
She said, I'm exhausting. Like, Opie, when we get into that whole
okay.
Opie.
So, oh, my God. You are exhausting.
You're more.
But the thing is with comedians is that they're always influenced by somebody else. You know, I was influenced by people. You were influenced by people.
I was pretty much influenced by, I think.
So I don't think you can't take it as a slight or, oh, how dare they. Can you stop picking at your fingernails? Just because they're under the table doesn't mean I can't hear and actually feel the energy of that happening.
I think I was influenced by, like, in the beginning, I was like, I thought I was just energetic running around stage like a Robin Williams. It was horrific. I was horrible. But I think
everybody was.
But I think when I worked on the road, the comic that had the most impact watching was probably Bill Hicks when I worked with him. Because, I mean, this was years ago. And people listen to Hicks now and they go, but his stuff is, you know, 20-something years old. that
and still pretty relevant.
Yeah. And when I worked with him a couple times in Texas, and I'm watching this guy going, I don't think I'll never be this funny and this brilliant. And the way he just moved across the stage and captured and held the audience's attention was amazing, you know. And then I gravitated towards, once I got in New York, better comics. I shouldn't say that. I gravitated towards, you know, me, Norton, Florentine, all the Jersey guys that came from Jersey to New York, hung out, you know, and we became better comics. But then with Colin and DePaulo and Keith and Patrice hanging with that whole crew, Billy, there wasn't any really bad comics in that crew. If you think of it, Kevin Hart, everybody that...
Well, the people, but that's the thing, the people that you remember. But if you actually were to go back in time, you'd see there's people sitting around there that you don't remember anymore.
But they weren't really
tight
with us. I can
even think
of
a few names, and I'm not.
You can?
Yeah, and I'm not going to say them, obviously.
Come on.
No.
No. All right. Tell me in my ear.
No, I'll tell you later. God, you're a child.
I want to know. All right. So let's move on. Anyhow, let's talk about the benefit we did last night. Bob Levy's out of his mind. He's completely out of his fucking mind.
Okay, I'll say this about Bob Levy. There's something about him that I really love. Like,
you want to marry him?
No, but I feel for him in a way of, I don't know. There's something. And the thing is that I didn't particularly like him when I first met him. I remember the first time I met him with you at Caroline's. But I think he might have been drinking then. But he was so tuned up. Like,
talk up, please.
He was, I think this is loud enough.
I don't think it is. Let me go ahead.
Well, sometimes when I listen to myself on the radio, it's too loud because you've been like too much, like talk louder.
Yeah, but nobody wants to hear you talk like you're all dead and tired. You sound like, go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Is your diamond in your ring?
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
Anything else you want to just randomly throw out there?
If we ever break up, I'm taking that ring back.
Okay, take it now.
What do you mean take it now?
I don't give a shit. I'll just wear the band.
You don't like that diamond?
It's
beautiful.
Well, it's not that. It's that it's bothersome. It's like it catches on stuff. I scratch.
Because it's so big, right?
With it. And it's like the way that it's set in there, it's high.
It's beautiful. So go ahead. You like Bob Levy. When you first met him, you weren't a big fan because he was...
Well, because he was like... kind of out of control. I can't explain it. He was like manic or something. Didn't seem like he was listening when he was just...
He was like Mannix, a private investigator?
Manic? Do you know what manic is?
Oh, I thought you said Mannix.
Are you joking right now?
Yes.
Oh. I don't know what manic
is. Last night, a comic did a pun, and I go, is that a pun? And yeah. People at the table go, yeah, that's a pun. Which sometimes I don't know what a pun is. But go ahead. So now you love him.
But now I have a real soft spot for him.
Why?
The way that you have a soft spot for me.
Why do you have a soft spot for him?
Do you get that joke?
Yeah. Did okay. I get that joke? Go ahead. Why do
you... I don't know why. Because he's crazy. He's like... But he's got a good heart. He's got a really... You know.
No, he's a nice guy. He does have a good
heart.
He's
super sweet.
Very nice.
But
very
he plans this show.
Benefit
for a woman who has cancer, which was so nice. This is where his big heart is.
That he met on Twitter.
He meets someone on Twitter. Florentine said this in his act, and I was like, I can't believe I didn't think of that. That he's been catfished, you know. He's sending money to some dude who's just like got his feet up and... typing away, I got cancer. So who knows what, you know, but the woman doesn't even live. If it is a woman, she lives in Chicago.
Yeah, he tells us his benefit. We're doing a benefit in Kingsburg, New Jersey, which wasn't far from our house. And it's a benefit. So, of course, we said we'll get on board. It was, benefits.
But can you imagine if I had canceled that? We were supposed to do that big other big show, and you canceled Levy to do it, and
I
then
almost,
I was like, I can't cancel a benefit. So yeah.
I was going to do a roast. I was going to
like it was a big deal.
It was a big
can you
roast?
Imagine
they
if I had
it.
Gone to Keensburg or whatever it was, like showed up last night and just been like, I canceled like a huge.
And we were, I was supposed to do a roast last night, host
press filled roast
for Curtis and Kubi from ABC, whatever radio station they're on. We were gonna, there was gonna be a roast. They moved it to March, supposedly. So Levy says his benefit is in Kingsburg, New Jersey, which I don't know, 45 minutes from our house. And benefits will, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, obviously you're not going to do them on the weekend, but you want to do as many as you can just to give back. That's what life is all about. You can't keep what you have unless you give it away. You ever hear that saying? You can't keep what you have?
Sayings by Rich Voss.
You can't keep what you have unless you give it away.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay? When you pass away, all you have in life is what you left behind.
You got that. Legacy.
I'm not talking materialistic things.
No, I hear you.
The things, the nice things you've done for people, the, you know,
what they say about you.
The legendary status.
Kind of character you had.
You know, what kind of person you were. So you do whatever you can.
But if you're destitute and on the street, people might not even know you died.
That's true. But I mean, and we're not bragging that we do benefits, because once you brag, then you're getting something out of it, and it's
about
you.
Well, true charity is anonymous.
That's what I say. That's why all these actors and actresses.
There's a saying from me.
What?
To you.
What's your saying?
True charity is anonymous.
Yeah, but you didn't make up that saying.
No, you didn't make up, well, you can't have what you got until you give it away or whatever.
Yeah, but I brought it to the table.
Well, what's the difference?
What do you mean, what's the difference?
I brought mine.
You never heard mine. I've heard yours. Like.
But that's still, you said you didn't make it up. Okay, no, neither did you. But I brought mine.
I brought mine to the table.
I brought mine to the table, too.
Yeah, but I already heard yours. Did you ever hear mine before I said it?
What does it have to do with it?
Because I brought it to you. I was the first to bring it to you.
But you brought it to me 10 years ago. You've been saying these same sayings since I met you. And yeah, no, I hadn't heard them before because I've never been to a meeting.
I've come up with some new sayings. What was the three L's that you heard yesterday?
Listen, learn, live.
Yeah.
I think live is wrong to be in there.
Yeah, I think it should be.
Because if you're listening and learning, you're probably living.
Well, once you listen, then you learn, and then you live life.
Oh,
listen, learn, live. I made that up.
No love in the three L's?
There's no love.
The top L's?
No love, because there's three L's.
Do you have a saying for each letter of the alphabet, like the triple A, the triple B, the triple C?
I can come up with them. I'm not going to do it now because it would take too long. There's how many letters in the alphabet? 26 or 24?
Okay. Well, I see. Rick asked me when you were going to write your book yesterday, our manager. And I was like, oh, now I can go back and tell him. When he learns how many letters in the alphabet there are, he'll get started.
So Levy asked us to do this better, and we said yes. And Levy on Twitter is like, it seems like, that's his job to promote on Twitter.
Oh, how does he have so many followers? I would completely.
How many does he have?
I don't know, but if I was it's just an endless. Oh. It's an endless stream of. You can mute now. I might mute him.
What? Block him?
No, you don't block. You mute. That way, it just doesn't come up on your thing.
I don't know how to mute.
Okay, well, don't worry about it right now.
Okay, let's try to find. Let me see where Bob Levy is. I know he's all over my. I want to see how many followers he has. But
he has
he's a
promoter.
Well, he does like some kind of radio. He says that I don't know. You know, if it's internet radio or real radio.
But then he like texts me, retweet this. I like retweeted it 20 times.
It's too much
about the benefit, and it's like okay. It's only for people who live in Kingsburg.
So we get to the benefit, and then Florentine tells us the girl lives in Chicago. You know, we're thinking we're doing a benefit for a girl from Kingsburg. Her friends will be there. Her family will raise
big
money.
He made posters with her picture in the poster, so I assumed that she would be there.
You know, and I'm thinking, well, this is going to be a pretty good turnout because it's a good lineup. Me, Bonnie, Levy, Florentine, the last minute said he'd do it, you know. So we get there and he says the girl lives in Chicago. I go, are you out of your fucking mind? And it was a great show. I mean, it was fun. You couldn't have found more of a dysfunctional bar and dysfunctional people anywhere.
But that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. It's like you see a show there. It's a different. it's different than actually just going to see stand up. There's something else that you're
seeing.
Well,
it was so personal. Here's Levy. Let's see how many follow. Oh, he's got 47,000 followers.
Yeah.
That's not bad for a guy who
retweets every minute of his life.
Yeah, because people get mad at that.
Anyway, yeah. So we raised about $15.
Yeah, like how much could we have raised?
I don't know.
You know, I mean, it was.
I think he's just looking for venues to sell shirts after. Like, he's willing to do free shows just to sell a few shirts.
But we had a great time. Levy went up first. He was really funny.
He's very funny.
He had some
lines that are.
Yeah, he had some great lines.
Like,
then this guy, Joe Conte, went on. He did well.
I love Joe Conte. He's so cool.
And then Florentine went on. He was great. Florentine was telling stories and, you know, he was funny. Bonnie went up.
Florentine was very funny.
He was very funny. Then Bonnie went up and did very well. She was the first.
Joe Conte gave me a line, one of those lines.
Yeah.
That I used up. But I can't remember which one it was now.
About Raina having earplugs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then I closed the show, of course, and just took it to another level when I got up there. You know, following all those top acts, I went on last. And just, it was, you know, then the people really got their money's worth. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, after I got up there, it was just like, it was kind of like, you know, bunch of headliners and then, boom, the Pope walks out. It's like a bunch of cardinals. Like, three cardinals went up, three or four cardinals, and then the Pope. That's what it was kind of like, right? Do you feel that way? How, when I got up and how I took it to that level? But I mean, everybody did on a 1 to 10 scale, tens. You know what I mean? When four cardinals do tens and then the Pope does 10, it's, you know what I'm saying? It just makes it a fantastic night out. You know, here comes the Pope. Oh my God, those cardinals were killing. Did you see those cardinals? How's the Pope going to fall? He's the Pope. Come on, he's the Pope. Holy Jesus, the Pope is taking. We don't even remember the Cardinals anymore. Right? Can't keep what you got unless you give it away.
Are you done?
Yes. What? I'm just saying. That's all. Just saying. Good coffee.
You're irascible.
Now moving on. But I wonder how much money he raised.
When you can't hear me, everyone, just know I'm doing what the title of the show is. Just silently doing it while I'm sitting here.
Bonnie, yesterday, went into editing to look at some of the footage.
I always think those are notes, but that's actually notes on how to get the podcast started, like how to record, like... How many? 115 or something? How many have we done?
About 140, I think.
100. let's let that sink in for a minute. 140 podcasts.
No, maybe 130.
Many of them, I would say 99% of them right here at this table with this computer.
Yes.
And yet, you still have a list
of how to
step by step on how to set it up. How is it possible that you don't know? What if that got burned or something? What if I crumpled it up right now? Would you be like, no? How come it doesn't sink in? Now, you're a legend. Clearly, you know your craft. You know what you're doing at all times. You have a 141 IQ. I read that on one of your CD covers.
Uh-huh.
So how is it that these two things... don't conspire in a way that can allow you to start the podcast without that step-by-step instructional?
It takes sometimes 10,000 hours to master something. You ever hear that? 10,000 hours?
It's going to take you 10,000 hours before you can
10,000
hit three
hours.
Buttons in the right order.
That's
to
what,
start the podcast.
I didn't make up the rules. 10,000 hours to become a master. That's all I'm saying. So Bonnie went to editing yesterday.
Can you, honestly, you just put in a huge piece of gum. By the way, when I was in editing, I will say this, that when we were watching some of it, you can hear you chewing the gum. There's all kinds of extraneous noise. They haven't done any kind of filtering of the, you
know.
Can
they get that out?
No, they can't get it out because your mouth goes right to your mic.
So she went into editing. How many hours do you think we got for this towards this pilot?
Who cares? Why do you care about that?
Because I'm gonna explain to the listeners.
They understand.
They don't understand.
Well, what they think when they're watching a TV show, it's just magically each. No, they know how it works. Trust me, people know how this shit works.
So Bonnie goes in, and Bonnie says it was great. Made it, Bonnie. I'm telling you, she has a vision. She has a vision. Like when we did our pilot years ago for Comedy Central, she didn't want to do it, and then I, you know, after all these years, she found out why. She was insecure, but now she's very
why
secure.
Why would you tell people that?
Why I tell people my character defects and what's wrong
I
with
know,
me?
No, but
well, there's nothing wrong with being insecure about doing something that you've never done, you know. So, you know, but now you have matured. And there's nothing wrong with that. You've grown since you met me. You've grown. And you have visions. And your visions, I'm telling you, are always right.
My like, visions? And make it sound like a...
Her visions are always right. Like, if you want her to fix your fucking show, whatever you're doing, she's the one to do it. I mean, if you need someone to punch up shit or whatever, I can do that. But she can fix it. She's like fucking Harvey Keitel in Pulp Fiction and the other place he cleaned up. What other movie? He cleaned up in two movies.
I don't know.
But Bonnie McFarlane is the Harvey Keitel of Pulp Fiction. She will fix it. She will fix it for you. Now, Reservoir Dogs? Reservoir Dogs, too. He fixed. He was a fixer in that. I think he was. He was a leader.
Without you jumping in to talk about your legend status again, you're very good in the show. You're funny.
In what? The pilot?
Yeah.
Thank you. But I've done a bunch of them.
You know, that's the thing about you. Even when I was making the movie that I noticed, editing the movie, was that you're so annoying in real life, but something on screen, it's like, it's much funnier for me to rewatch it than to live it.
Why?
When I'm living it, I'm annoyed. I really, truly am annoyed. And then when I watch it, I see the humor and the funniness of it. But in the real moment of it, like even that scene where, what's that place we went and looked out, that beautiful...
Washington Rock.
Oh, Washington Rock. I mean, it's funny because I really was annoyed. But when I watch it back, it's funny. Like you're being funny and stuff. But I remember at the time just being like, stop. You kept asking me like, hey, why are you in a bad mood? I was like, I'm tired. Leave me alone.
It's Maureen. I can't
no,
answer
No, don't answer it right now.
How do you pause it? How do you not answer it?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Up top?
Rich.
No, it's on the side.
I don't know what this fucking huge phone.
Right there. That's how you don't answer it. You know what she's calling me for?
Want no.
me to retweet the Patrice benefit, which I'm
But
gonna,
when is it?
I
February?
Don't yeah, I don't know.
It's like so far away. But I guess when the tickets go on sale,
they sell out.
They sell out really fast.
Like no one gets in free. Like, can I bring you? Do you have to pay if I bring you?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Your wife has to pay?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Are you sure?
Last year, no one could come without paying. Not one person, remember? We did it, and we just were both on it, so it was fine.
No, because the first year you went,
the
right?
The first year, there were some people in the green room, and then Maureen put a stop to that.
No, well, in the green room, that's different.
No, even in the green room last year, I swear to God, not one. Because it's a benefit where they're raising money for Patrice's family. So.
Yes. Okay, so you went into editing. Great. You liked it. So we're pretty happy about... how it's going. But what I'm trying to say is, if you need someone to fix, I'm not talking.
Well,
to,
the thing
I'm
is
not talking.
I can only give my opinion on what I think, you know, and the executives and everybody agreed with me in the room.
Well, Maureen gave you great advice.
Maureen actually did.
Who just called me. What
yes.
was...
She said, let other people fight your battles for you, so...
So that's why I'm going to bring somebody in here to sleep next to you.
Yeah, so, you know, whatever. I guess the technique that I was using was I'd be like, I wonder if we could do it like this. And then other people would be like, oh, that's good. And then they would start getting excited and saying it like that. And then, you know, sometimes you sort of make it seem like it's their idea, which is a frustrating technique.
It's a sales technique.
Well, because you want to get credit for your ideas, but then it's like people are like, oh, look at Ronnie came up with this fantastic idea. And you're like, but it's better to have it.
Well,
in
what
the
you
show,
do
then.
Whenever you have ideas like that, and you make them think they. You just write them down and log them, and at the end during an argument, you go,
"Look at all
look
the
at
ideas
this.
That I came
I really
up with.
Had them and made you. You just log them. You
uh-huh.
know what I mean? That's all I'm.
But
saying.
But it's more like the end product. Obviously, you know, I am a person that doesn't care if something that I don't like. I wouldn't if I didn't like it, I wouldn't want it to get picked up. Like I'm not, I don't know why, but I'm not driven by money. Like I can't do stuff just for money. I can't.
Well, that's not true. You're taking gigs that for
no, I've taken writing stuff just for money.
Yes,
but that's like putting stuff out there that's not. It's not like me. Do you know what I mean?
Well, we're gonna have a great
but
show.
Stuff that yes, but I'm saying like I'd rather just have it be something that I really like and I'm proud of. I can't imagine doing a show every week that I am embarrassed about.
You know, but that show that we were gonna do with me, you, Norton, and Keith would have been great. That comedy club makeover show that we shot.
Yes, that one I was behind. I thought that would have been fun. And the thing is that I didn't even want to be on that one. I just thought wanted you guys to do that.
That would have been great. I don't know how.
Well, there's
anytime.
Once you get a show on the air, you have more opportunities.
I try to bring Norton into everything I do. That's how I am with him.
But your sister sent me an article today about are we seeing the network that this is going on? Well,
no.
The network that our show is on. You know, originally we tried to get a scripted show, right? And I'm going to punch you in the face if you don't stop doing that. And then they were like, no,
you threaten
no,
no. me on right. You threaten me and people know it.
But I think it's because I think the production company.
Wait, I start again. My sister sent you an article about what?
That the
network.
The network that we're is moving totally towards scripted. Yeah.
As of when? Today?
You know, they're making a concerted a lot of it was an article about a lot of networks going like Bravo has a scripted series now and you know there's a move away from reality
but
so you know we're like what because we wanted scripted and the production company kept saying no the network wants it to be more real.
Why don't you send that article to the production company? Do you have a copy of it?
Yeah, of course.
And send it and say what's this about.
Oh.
So are we
should we worry about this?
Yeah, send it.
Okay.
That's how you do it. Send it to a Betsy.
Nice, Richard.
Go, you know, are we caught in the middle of a fucking...
Well, I would still like to do the show exactly the way we're doing it, except I just want the audio. I would rather have, like, it... I like the way that it looks, and I like the way that we are in it, because it's sort of like, you know, we're... funny and it seems real because a lot of it is real. Like when we're on the radio show, we're really doing that. And when but I want it to say based on, not like those cameras followed us around for 24 hours because that's not how it is. And people know that's not how it is.
No, it never is. It's all, yeah. All right, do that again. Do that one again. Do it this way. Do it that way. Yeah. Ours are pretty much done on one take because that's how we are.
Well, we're assholes.
Yeah.
And the production company believe me, they think we're assholes.
No, they don't.
But they're happy with what they saw in the edit.
Why do they think we're assholes?
They're scared of us all the time. Of like they were really scared that I wasn't going to like the footage. Like there was a lot of like sort of pageantry around me coming in and looking at the footage. And he wanted to show me a certain thing first. And I was like, oh, no, let me see that. The thing about the, what was it called? The Washington Rock or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, that's not really edited yet. And I was like, I just want to take a look at it. And he's like, oh.
See, because those production companies and the showrunners, they're dealing with people without talent. They're dealing with regular people that don't, that are just happy to be on TV. You know what I mean? When they're doing those shows.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that. Like, I think people who have their own business also have something at stake, and
of course,
you know, they don't want to portray themselves. So, but it's just a different set of problems that they have with, say, like, you know, Pawn Stars or whatever that show is. Do you notice all the pawn shows, they have to use the porn twist? They all have it. There's three or four of them. They all have
the show. Well, I thought
it's like they can't. Nobody can think of another pun, so they keep doing like pornography, Pawn Stars. You know,
porn my cock. You ever see that one?
You're not doing the joke. You're not doing the twist, the pornography twist.
Yeah, I said porn.
But there's no porn my cock. That's not a real saying. Porn my cock. You don't know what a pun is, do
yes,
you?
I do.
No, you don't.
I do.
It's got to be a thing on the word pornography.
I get it. Like, you know, I get it.
Think of something with the word porn in it, and then instead put pawn.
Porn McFarlane. Porn McFarlane. Get it?
No.
You don't get it?
No.
That's your problem. You don't get a lot.
Okay, well, explain it to me. How is that a pun on the
Let's
word?
Let's move on. These are just silly little arguments.
I want to hear it. No, because you're a legend in comedy, and yet you don't know what a pun is.
Yes, I do. That's because I never did them. I don't do that Name one time I've done a pun on stage. Give me one example.
I can't remember all your sets, but I know. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll keep an eye out for it now.
Okay.
And remember, we had this conversation. What's the name of this episode?
We didn't name it yet.
What time is it in this episode?
Today is November 20th.
Okay, we'll do pawn puns or porn puns. That'll be the title.
Porn puns?
Yeah.
That's the title.
Yeah.
Okay, porn puns.
Porn puns. And what's the time on this? What, so I can go back and say, when I go, you did a pun, you'd be like, so? I know that's what you'll do. I'll be like, you just did a pun on stage. And you'd be like, so? I bet you said you never do puns on
stage. I've never done a pun. Have you ever heard me? Name one pun.
Do you understand English?
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying? From now on, I'm going to watch for you to do a pun.
Okay.
I'm going to catch you doing a pun.
You won't.
And then when I do, you'll say, so I never said that. And I'll say, okay, let's go to pawn or pun.
Pawn puns.
Pawn puns.
We're at 36 minutes.
At 36 minutes.
You'll remember that?
Are you gonna write, I'm going to write it down.
Like you're supposed to write the other stuff down I told you to write down. The ideas you come up with, so at the end you get the credit. Don't you remember I just told you that 10 minutes ago?
Yeah, but I'm not doing that.
You have to do it.
So.
Okay.
When I catch you doing a pun on stage.
You're not going to. I don't do.
Well, you might be doing humor. Them. You might be doing them all the time and you don't know because you don't even know what a pun is.
I know what a pun is. Are you kidding me?
Well, how come...
I was joking when I did that.
And then, but on this episode, you were like, I guess I don't know what a pun is.
I never said, I was joking. I know.
Oh, well, let's, why don't you start writing down when you're joking or not?
Okay. I mean, I can't, you know, everybody knows what a pun is.
Do you?
It's just a twist.
How many letters are there in the alphabet? Stop. Stop counting on your fingers.
Like I said before, 26. I said 26 before. Everybody knows that. What do you think?
How many states are there?
50.
How many cards?
How many what?
Cards.
Card? 52. You know that? Did you know it was 52?
I don't ask questions. I'm like a lawyer. I'm not going to ask a question I don't know the answer to.
That's why they play 52 pickup. You ever play 52 pickup with a kid? I used to play it with my kids, 52 pickup. They go, can we play? I go, throw the cards on the floor, pick them up. 52 pickup.
Thanks for explaining to everyone.
52 pickup.
The fucking genius.
How? Why are you
complicated game?
Why would you
attack
Opie on the radio the other day? I mean,
I wasn't. I was joking around. I don't know because I was getting laughs, so I kept going.
Is that really?
Yes, I remember.
That's all that matters.
I was like this, and the thing. Oh, this is a boring episode. I don't feel like doing this. And then I was like, and I started getting laughs. I was like, I felt myself, like my shoulders started moving. I was like,
and another thing, oh babe, boop, boop, boop.
And I got caught up in the moment and it was wrong.
I mean, after you.
And I apologize.
After you.
I apologize yesterday.
Why? You didn't do anything wrong.
I texted Lindsay beforehand. I said, Lindsay, how should I deal with this? She goes, just tell him he looks like he lost the weight and compliment his blue eyes. So when I went in, I did exactly that. I was like, first of all, I just want to say, have you lost weight? And I never noticed how blue your eyes are. And it worked.
Now it's not going to work because he's going to listen to this.
He's going to listen to this. He doesn't listen to this.
The whole world. Are you kidding me? We're going to be in the top 10.
What if they ask what episode should people listen to if they're going to just listen to one episode?
The one we did last week, One Man's Trash, where you called that radio show?
No.
That was great. I'm telling you, that was a great.
You think it's good because you were funny in it, but
no,
I wasn't.
No, I'm just telling you, it was a fucking good pie.
I
good
can't believe you didn't say Bonnie Cries.
That's too old. Nobody wants to hear that. I come off mean.
Oh, it's awful.
I come
it's
off
the
mean.
Most uncomfortable.
That's what launched us. You crying.
Bonnie Cries?
That and you when you gave me head on air.
Stop with that. That's not true.
Are you kidding me?
Stop. We were joking and you know we were joking.
People
don't try
were
to
going
play
nuts.
It
radio people. Everybody was going nuts.
No.
Are you kidding me? It broke the charts.
Are you out of your mind?
What are you kidding me? It's never been done on a podcast. We were the first one on a podcast to have oral. Are you kidding me? Oh, speaking of first... Keith and the girl are raising money on
Kickstarter.
Keith and the girl, friends of ours.
Keith and the girl slash kick, right? That's how.
Yeah,
you
go
it.
To Keith and the girl slash kick, and just you know, donate a couple bucks. They're getting a tour bus, and they're going to 10 cities. They're bringing comics. They're going to do podcasts. They're
making
doing
a little
big,
documentary.
I don't know if it's little.
Oh,
know that was pretty fucking
yes.
Crass of you.
Well, they're making a little documentary. Unless you put money into their Kickstarter, then they're making a big documentary.
I said that's crassy. That's not the right word, crass.
No, but it's fine. I accepted it.
So go to Keith and the Girl slash Kickstarter.
No, hook slash kick, up. I think.
Slash kick. You know, and Amazon, if you're going to, like, Dr. Steve has
if
all the answers.
Asked, if we haven't asked for enough already, let's just ask for one more thing.
We've never asked for anything.
How come I used to do reads? That took up so much time.
We don't, because your reads have got us no more reads. Because...
Well, people should.
Yeah.
Let me do some reads because...
I'm telling you out there, folks, if you need something fixed... Or you need reads, Bonnie.
Fixed or reads.
Fixed or reads. That's Bonnie's new business. You could see it'll be a
fixed or reads. You want something read on the podcast for a certain amount of money? We'll be happy to do it.
Not Will. Bonnie does the reads, and she could do it.
If you have a script that needs some fixing up,
that
for,
we could do together.
A lot of money. A lot. That's a lot. That's a lot of money.
You know. Also, too, if you need me. I can sit on your movie set. I know how to punch up movies.
Rich sat on
different movies. That's
why
all.
You not. Why don't?
Because maybe those people don't want you to know.
Who cares?
Yes.
That's
no,
baloney.
It isn't baloney. They don't want you. You know they.
Because you're a doctor. You're a punch up doctor.
Yes.
They don't want everyone to know they're going to the punch up doctor.
Those are yes, not me, just me. But I've sat on.
Some
many
pretty big
movies.
Deal movies.
And I sit
one
there.
One really big deal movie that's coming out right now.
I sit there in Video Village and I watch the scenes.
He punched
and
up Gone Girl, everybody. So when you're sitting in there laughing.
Gone Girl, what movie is that?
Stop.
I haven't seen it. That's Ben Affleck, right?
Yeah, but nobody says it like that.
It's supposed to be good.
Ben Affleck.
There's so many movies that are supposed to be good.
It's because this is the time of year.
Snowden, the movie on Snowden.
They all come out because they want to be up for an Oscar.
We talked about this at the Cellar the other night. You weren't there, everybody. Like I was watching Jersey Girl, and
isn't it called Jersey Boys?
Oh, Jersey Boys, and it wasn't
oh,
Jersey
boy.
Girl.
As he's jerking off to it, he's like, "Well, I'll just pretend it's a girl."
Oh, whoa! So
top 10 podcasts of the year.
Jersey
Girls
Boys,
to Bobby Fowler, Rich Fowler.
And there was one scene, and I got tears in my eyes. It was so fucking sad, you know. And the Four Seasons had so many great songs, and he had such a rough life. Fucking Frankie Valli. I opened for the Four Seasons. Mm. In Montclair, I think, or Morristown Theater years ago. And now I look back, I go, that's a big fucking deal. I opened for the Four Seasons. Anyhow, all these comics were at the table talking about, don't watch sad movies on planes. It's easier. You cry more on planes. Something about planes that brings out the sadness in you. I don't know. Maybe it's because you're just traveling and you're sad. And well, those movies hit you really hard. You see what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is go to Keith and the
Girl. One time when I was a smoker and I was flying from New York back to Los Angeles. Or maybe it was, oh, no, it was in Canada. So I'd already gone through customs and I was flying back. Maybe it was, I don't remember where I was flying, but it was a long flight.
It doesn't really matter. It was a long flight. All you had to do was say it was a long flight. Okay, you talk to me about...
You're right. You're so right. This is not a good start.
You just said I had a long flight.
Thank you. Thank you for correcting me. You're completely right. I had a long flight. But the customs thing...
See, I can even punch up your stories.
The customs thing... Start with yourself. Start with your own. The customs thing is important because I'd gone through customs, right?
Uh-huh.
So I couldn't leave.
Go ahead.
No. Did
you, are you going to tell the story and just stop? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, because when I'm telling a story, I don't like to see two knuckles disappear into somebody's nose.
So?
You can't be discussing all the time.
It was an accident. I was just scratching.
So?
Oh, it's getting late. I got to get going.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, then the flight was delayed by several hours. So I just, I didn't have a cigarette for many, many hours, like almost 12 hours.
Why wouldn't you go
hours.
In the bathroom and have a cigarette? That's what I would have done.
I don't know. But when I got on the plane, then I still had 6 hours or whatever on a plane with no cigarette. I started crying. I cried the whole plane ride. And I had the blanket over my head and had to pretend like someone in the family had died to the person next to me. I was like, oh, it was my grandma.
Why were you crying? Cause you never...
Because I was having nicotine withdrawal. I know, isn't that crazy? I mean, I was probably tired and hungover and a bunch of shit.
Yeah, that story does a lot of people crying listening to it because it wasn't.
Has
really
anybody ever experienced such a thing?
It wasn't a good
if
story.
If I could just help one person out there with my, that's what people always say. I'm telling my story to help. Shut up! What you're going to help more people by shutting the fuck up?
You know,
am I too harsh with people? But it's really like annoying
like
to me. Thank you.
You tell it.
You know, that's like one thing that I hate is when people always give these pat, like, you know, they're on the cover of People magazine and they're like talking about like, oh, they had a miscarriage or whatever. I'm just telling to help people. Shut the fuck up. You're doing it to get on the cover. You're using your you know, dead
fetus.
Fetal baby to get on the cover of People magazine or whatever. It's gross.
You?
And you're not helping anybody. There's millions and millions and millions of women have had these kinds of things happen to them. Your fucking story, just because you happen to be on, you know, Grey's Anatomy or something.
Yeah. Well,
I'm not talking about anyone specifically because I'm
let me tell you something
about it. It really drives me crazy.
Folks, you don't know this about Bonnie.
I get heated!
Bonnie will fix your script.
I will fix it. And if you need a speech.
She tells it like it is.
Thank you.
Tells it like it is.
Uh-huh.
And there was another one I forgot already. These are things you do.
Yeah, well, what was the other one?
Fix it and whatever. People will fucking text me, tweet me back what it was.
Forget.
Anyhow.
Anyway.
All right. We're going to wrap this up. Let's give some plugs. I got to say, this was a pretty good podcast. People, you remember, listen, learn, and live. And that's what they do on this podcast.
But
they
never,
listen,
but never love. Never love.
This isn't about love. This is about living life to life's fullest. Okay?
So,
bless you.
You know what else I hate is when people go. They're like on like some fucking morning show or something, and they're like, "Oh, I eat grapes every day." Oh, now the whole world knows. It's like, no, the whole world doesn't fucking know. Just the audience that's watching, you know.
Yeah. When they go, the whole world, it's just fucking 100 people.
Yeah. Oh, just Kathy Lee and Hoda's audience knows now. Don't worry about it. I hate that.
Hey, that.
Well, now the whole world knows. No, they don't. The whole world still doesn't fucking give a shit about your dietary habits, you fucking dumb cunt. I'm sorry.
God. hold on.
I'm sorry, 15-year-old listeners.
I know. Our how
but
old
I
is
will
he?
Say shit.
How old is that kid? 15 or 13?
I don't know about your dumb, like...
He keeps emailing me.
His mother's going to call you and be like...
Hey, I can't stop.
Pissed at you.
Stop pissing me. I don't tell the
you're corresponding
kid.
With him.
I never wrote back to him.
Do not write back.
Are you crazy? Why would I write back to
a young
kid?
Because you'll go to prison. You'll go to fucking prison.
You'll go to prison.
You'll go to prison.
Oh, really? If you get fan mail and you write back and say thank you, you'll go to prison?
You might go to prison. This is like, the pedophilia thing is on high alert.
Yeah, it is on high alert. If you write back thank you, I think that's fine. If you write back thank you, what are you packing? Then maybe you can get in
trouble. Well, they can take stuff out of context. They could show clips out of this, you know.
You can't show it. This is audio.
You know what I'm saying?
This is audio. So the kid, he emailed me and says a lot of kids at his school are listening to this stuff.
He's lying. He's fully lying. This kid is probably 35 years old, bald, and like has a beer gut, and is just like, finally someone's...
That's even creepier.
Finally, someone's paying attention to me.
That would be even creepier
if fucking wheelchairs over to the fridge, but he can walk. You know, he's that kind of guy.
Yeah. This kid has a $5
when one
bet.
Door closes, another door opens. Usually a refrigerator. Let me get this.
Is that what
it is? I'm going to order a pizza.
So he's not even a kid. He's a 35-year-old bald guy.
I don't know why bald always adding to.
So this Asian kid has a $5 horror. Bet that with a friend that we'd mention his name, but I forget his name, so I guess
You know what he does? He takes that $5 out of his pocket and puts it in his other pocket. Okay? That's what that 35-year-old man does when you say his name.
Yeah. I don't remember the kid's name, so I can't say it.
Sorry, kid.
Sorry, Chinese kid.
It's Chinese.
That's what he said. He said
that's how you know it's a lie.
Why?
Chinese people, they got better shit to do than listen to a marital couple's fucking problems.
You think so? What do Chinese people
a
have to do?
A couple's marital problems.
Well, and I know one thing Chinese people have to do is sit online outside of fucking Apple to buy iPhones to send back to their motherland.
Home country.
Yeah, there's always like fucking
why?
400. Because
don't they come from the homeland to begin with?
I don't know where they come from. All I know is it's a big racket for Chinese people to fucking buy as many iPhones as they can.
Well, folks, this is a story that 60 Minutes will be breaking in 2 weeks, but Rich Voss is breaking it now.
You're listening to Chinese Talk.
Chinese secrets. Not so ancient secrets anymore.
They sit outside. Go buy any fucking, Apple store. Not any, like in San Francisco where there's a lot of them or Seattle, a lot of Chinese. I mean, they could be Korean or Japanese.
How long do I have to sit and listen to this before I'm like, will it get interesting?
No, I'm
is
saying.
Is he going to say something good?
Here's the
end
deal.
To this?
It's usually 1 out of 5. Japanese, Korean, Chinese, Filipino, and what was the other? Vietnamese. Okay? So you really, it's hard to tell. It's really hard to tell. So you just say Chinese. And that covers pretty much the five, mm-hmm. like the food groups of Asians.
I just say slanty-eyed. Hey, you got different eyes than me. So,
you know, when they get mad, they call you round eyes.
Shit, that hurts. That hurts.
That hurts, doesn't it?
Oh, cracker round eye. Oh, shit.
So,
the pain I'm feeling now.
The Chinese kid is a 35-year-old bald man who's
white.
White. Who's going to lose $5 because we're not mentioning his name because I don't remember his name. I remember.
He's right now burning some fucking picture of you. How dare you?
Yeah, our youngest fan, who's an old guy.
I want you, fan, send a picture holding a newspaper. Okay, I don't know.
Holding a newspaper.
So it could tell it's like today.
I don't know. See, that's what's going to get you in trouble when you just asked a minor to send you a picture.
Well, I don't want if you're naked, I don't want to see. Just hold the newspaper in front of your nudity.
No, you don't want nudity. You can't, right there, that's what's going to get you in trouble. You say, take a picture of you sitting
in
class.
Take a picture of you naked in class.
Not naked, sitting in class amongst, he probably goes to one of those Asian schools where they only teach.
What?
Asian kids to be, you know what I mean?
Cause like super smart. Yeah. Oh, so this is like he's slumming it. He's like, I just can't listen to anything intelligent anymore.
So
it's too much. I got to listen to some dumb shit.
And that's us.
And then that's us.
Yeah, maybe he's using it to advance his, you know, intellect. And his friends, they probably all sit around and make fun of it.
Well, that's what it's like to be old and married.
How would like five Asians sit around making fun of our podcast? What would it sound like? How would they do it?
Well, they'd first of all be like, 140 time, he still not know how to put the thing together without using his list. This guy real dumb. This guy real stupid.
We'll have a conversation with a couple of them. How, like, because you are the master of impressions.
I'm not going to do it.
Come on, just a little more. You're the master. Like, I'll interview you.
She sounds like real cunt. No, I like the girl, not the man. The man is mean. Did you hear one where she give him blowjob? Ooh, I was like, are you kidding me? OMG.
Are you half black?
I don't know what's going on. You know, they adopt different cultures all the time. All right, I got to go.
Any plugs?
No, I don't know. I got stuff coming up, but check my Twitter at Bonnie McFarlane.
Is that where you send out your... When are you going to think you're going to get a website made? I mean, you've only been in the business for...
I don't care. You know what?
You don't need a website?
I don't care about this shit anymore.
You know?
I got too much. If I, you know, when I get rich and famous, I will have someone do some stuff for me. Okay? I'm not going to... Once I get enough money... I'm going to have people do... I'll just write stuff for them to say. They go out. You see some girl doing it. It's like, Bonnie McFarlane cannot be here, but she sends her regards. And then they read something that I wrote. You know what I mean? And then...
Oh, your time's up.
Okay. Thanks. Somebody else will tweet for me. Somebody else will do my social media. I won't have to do any of this stuff.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, you're done. Tonight, if this podcast goes up in time, I'll be at Bridge Street Live, Collingsville, Connecticut, or Collingswood, or hold on, let me look it up. I'll tell you right now. Tonight in Collingsville, Connecticut, Bridge Street Live, Friday, Mega Fest, Comic Con, Framingham, Mass at the Sheraton Friday and Saturday, New Jersey Comedy in Flemington, whatever it's called. Second show, first show is sold out, folks. Whoa, that's what I'm trying to say. Talk to you later.
If you enjoyed My Wife Hates Me, subscribe and check out all the great podcasts at riotcast.com.
She really hates him. It's really true. Why did she marry this jackass Jew? Some people say that opposites attract, but this seems more like a suicide pact. He's totally sober, she's not that drunk. He's really old and she's got some spunk. He's totally holy as an asinine bomb, and she's just a little less dumb. She really hates him, it's really true. But somewhere deep down, she loves him too.